Yeah, love it. And keeping that metaphor in mind about the bucket, you know, filling it up so that we're less likely to have an empty bucket.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or if we find ourselves with the empty bucket, we've got a place to go.
Yeah. We're Kath and Ellie. Welcome to our podcast, Brave, Strong and Fulfilled.
Join us as we share all things real life and the lessons we've learned along the way. We hope that our conversations inspire, challenge and encourage you on your own life journey. Enjoy today's episode. We recently spoke about burnout on an episode, Kath. It was only a couple of weeks ago, and we called it Go Where the Life Is. You remember that conversation?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. And I actually love what we called it, Go Where the Life Is. But, you know, it got me thinking about burnout a little bit more. And it also got me thinking about, okay, if burnout is something that has become, that has impacted so many of us, professional, no matter what we do in life, it has impacted significant number of people, especially since COVID and especially, you know, today. I thought maybe we should talk about, okay, if burnout can impact us so much, what's actually the opposite of burnout and how could that impact us?
Oh, I love that question, Ellie. And and you know what? I'm actually so excited that you asked that question, because a couple of months ago, I was involved in becoming certified in a tool called motivational mapping.
That's an interesting tool.
And the interesting thing was that it was explained while doing the training for this that the opposite of burnout, like people who are not burnout, are actually highly motivated.
Right.
So, you know, per definition, it's probably not exactly that these are exact opposites. But if, you know, we often talk about in the coaching space on don't focus on what you don't want.
Yeah.
Focus on what you do want.
Yes.
And so, you know, if we're focusing on the fact that we burnt out mm-hmm. and we just keep focusing on that.
Yeah.
We just spiral down and feel even worse.
That's right.
So sometimes it's quite helpful to shift gears and focus on, well, what's the antidote?
Yeah.
You know, or how can I, if I'm not going to do burnout, what are my other options?
Yeah. What can that look like?
Yeah. And so motivation, when you said, you know, what is the opposite? That's the first thing that came to my mind was motivation.
Yeah.
And, you know, from what I remember, we learned that motivation, all that it is, it, you know, to simplify it, it's mm-hmm. our inner energy. It's what drives us from the inside.
Yes.
And if we think about someone who's burnt out, what's their inner energy like?
Yeah. Well, you know, when you say that, I can immediately picture what someone who's in burnout can look like. You know, their face is probably a little bit drawn. Their bodies are probably a little bit hunched over. They, probably not a whole lot of energy, perhaps moving a bit more slowly. Their voice could be perhaps a little bit more flat, monotone. You know, there's sort of a distinct picture that you can get from someone who's in burnout.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love metaphor because I'm a visual person. So thinking about it in terms of, you know, and we often hear the phrase, you know, how full is your bucket or how empty is your bucket, you know, your energy bucket. And so someone with an empty energy bucket, if it's a short-term thing, you know, we all go through that. That's
sure.
You know, that's, you know, we go through busy times, right? And it's part of life.
Yeah.
But if there's a persistent empty bucket, then we're likely to head for burnout.
Yeah.
So it's useful to have tools to know, okay, so how do I replenish my bucket?
Love it.
How do I fill my bucket?
Mm-hmm.
And this is where I get so excited about this motivational mapping.
I can already see the excitement on your face.
Yeah, because I think what it helps us to understand is that we are all unique and different.
Mm-hmm.
And we have different things that motivate us in different ways and also in different seasons of life.
Yes, of course.
And I remember reading that they said that, interestingly, the research has shown that around 50% of us are not actually that clear about what really motivates us.
Yeah. Like, I've been doing this work now for a couple of years, right?
Yeah.
And as soon as you say, okay, well, what motivates us? I'm sitting here rattling my brain going, oh, what motivates me? And like, you know, I know, and I've done the work, and I, and if I sit here and I contemplate it, sure I do, but it's not easy. That it's not easy language to come up with. What motivates me? I could easily sit here and just, if I wasn't really thinking about it and I hadn't done any work in this space, my answer could simply be, I actually don't know.
Absolutely. And that is where tools like this are so helpful, because motivation, I think for so many of us, it's in that intangible realm, you know, and so we kind of have an idea of whether, you know, if you ask somebody how motivated you feel right now on a scale of 1 to 10, you know, our intuition, intuitively, we kind of know, we'll say, I'm at a 5 or a 6 or an 8 or a 2. So, but that still doesn't give us the language around, well, what actually is it and what motivates us?
Yeah, that's right.
So interestingly, what I've learned about motivation is there are 3 routes to motivation.
Okay.
And I'll just quickly mention them because they're just interesting to know.
Yeah.
So the one is personality. And I think we all know that some people have bubbly personalities and some people just don't, you know, and that
and no right or wrong, right?
No right or wrong. And so personality does play a role, but it's definitely not the only thing, not at all. And the reason I mention this is that personality also is generally quite fixed. You know, if somebody is a bubbly person and has a bubbly personality, that's who they are. And unless, you know, there's a significant traumatic event that switches that for them, they're likely to stay bubbly because that's their personality.
Yeah.
But you and I both know that motivation can change very quickly.
Yes.
And, you know, 1 week we can feel highly motivated and then
full steam ahead, super excited about all of the projects we've got, and then next minute.
So, and for whatever reason, and it's usually something external, right?
Yes, something's gone on.
Yeah, and then our motivation drops. So the other 2 routes of motivation that were interesting, the one is concept of self, which makes sense, because I think if we're feeling really good about ourselves, energy goes up, right?
Yeah.
And if we're not feeling so great about ourselves, then it makes sense that our energy is low.
Yes.
And then the third one was expectation of future.
Right.
Which also makes sense, because if the future ahead looks bright and exciting, energy will go up.
Of course. But if it's bleak and feel like there's no hope.
So that's kind of the roots of where motivation comes from. But then interestingly, there are 9 key areas that I've learned through this training for motivational mapping that motivate each of us. Mm-hmm. And so I think it might be helpful to speak through those today.
Because I'd love you to.
That gives us language, you know, the language that we didn't have.
Yeah.
Gives us language. And the interesting thing is, why I like this map so much is that the language it gives us is so clear and simple. They haven't tried to make it all quirky or, you know, super intelligent or try and package it in a, they've just kept it simple, which is great.
Sure. Good. Yes. Let's go.
Okay. So to start, there are 3 key areas or 3 key kind of umbrella areas that we can be motivated by. And I'll quickly go through those. And then under each of these are 3.
Yes.
3 motivators. So there are 9 key areas that light us up, drive us, you know, increase our energy.
Sure.
And all of us will have a blend of all of these 9.
Okay.
But in the blend, you'll have stronger motivators and you'll have weaker motivators. Okay, so you'll have so the first sort of cluster or umbrella we call the relationship cluster. And if your relational cluster is the strongest, then your tendency is towards being motivated by stability, security, knowing what's around the corner.
Okay.
You know, planning your diary, it's organized.
Yeah.
So you like structure and things to be organized, and you don't really like someone to come and mess with your structure. You don't like change and you don't like risk.
Okay, there you go.
So these are just broad brushstrokes, very broad brushstrokes. If you're the other cluster, second cluster is the achievement cluster.
Okay.
So so your map will show you which of these clusters, you know, do you have a stronger cluster or are you balanced equally across all three clusters? The achievement cluster though is, again, broad brushstrokes. You enjoy having logic and reason and an understanding about where you're at and what your week looks like, what your day looks like. Mm-hmm. So, you don't mind change and you don't mind risk. So long as it makes logical sense and you can find reason in what's happening.
Yeah. Okay.
So again, broad brushstrokes, that's the, and they speak of the relational clusters being heart-centered people.
Yeah.
And the achievement clusters in your head. You need to think it through. You're logical. It makes sense. You're rational about it.
Mm-hmm.
The third cluster, they call the growth cluster.
Okay.
And this growth cluster is much more like what your gut say. What is your instinct? You know, and if growth is your highest cluster, again, in broad brushstrokes, you actually enjoy, you're motivated by things new and by change and by risk. And, you know, we also much more forward thinking, future oriented.
Okay.
Achievement cluster are much more present oriented.
Yeah.
And relational cluster are much more past oriented.
This is interesting and I can't wait to break it down a bit more because as you're first saying this, I'm like, oh, I'm all heart. I'm all about relational. But then I was like, oh, I don't need to have my schedule, you know, not mess with because I'm super flexible, go with the flow, quite spontaneous. So then when you say the growth one, I was like, ah, maybe that's mostly where. So I'm getting excited.
So, so when somebody does their map, what it looks like, just for our listeners, it's a range of questions that you answer. Similarly to if you've done some kind of strengths test or personality test, you know, or Enneagram, Myers-Briggs, any of those, you'd answer questions and then a report, you'll get a report saying, you know, where you lie on the ranges. And this is the same. So the report comes back and it lets you know, do you have a dominant cluster?
Yeah.
Or are you somewhere in the middle? Like, do you have a spread? So you might have in your sort of top three motivators, you might have a relational motivator sitting there. Mm-hmm. As well as a growth motivator.
Yes. Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes. And it probably won't have the logical one. No, just kidding. I'm sure there's something there as well. But, you know, that's not how I predominantly operate. Yeah.
So interesting. Once you explain these motivators to people, they reckon about, you know, 50% of us guess quite right. We like have a guess what we are. And when you actually do the map and see your report, but 50% of us have, you know, some surprises that come along the way and you go, oh, but then when you dig deeper, you go, oh, you know what? That makes a whole lot of sense.
Yeah. Great.
Yeah.
No, that sounds good.
So under the three, so relationally, the relational cluster, there are three motivators under that umbrella. And this will start making sense to you because you might find you relate to one of the three, you know, or two of the three, but not the other. The first one there is the friend motivator.
Okay.
So again, you know, the friend is relational. They're motivated and lit up by connection, collaboration. So in the workspace, they're less interested in competition and more interested in collaborating and that friendship and being part of a team.
Yes. Yeah. Okay.
The defender is the next one. So the defender is the person that likes to defend their diary. They like structure.
Oh, right. I see.
Okay. Yeah. Don't like, they like to know what's coming. Don't like surprises. Don't like the unknown.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then the third motivator under that, the relational cluster, is the star.
That sounds interesting.
Well, the star, it's exactly what it says. The star is motivated by being the star.
Right.
So when you're being the star, you really enjoy the limelight, you enjoy recognition, you enjoy respect. Okay. And so, you know, for some people that's very motivating.
Yeah.
And I think we've all met people where, you know, they come alive when they're in the spotlight.
Yeah.
And yet we've also met people that completely avoid the spotlight. It's just not where they want to be. Definitely doesn't motivate them.
And what about, like, I'm just thinking about my children because, you know, we've got five kids. So as you're speaking, I can sort of start thinking about not just myself and how this impacts me, thinking about my kids. And you know, I know for sure a couple of those kids, if they were asked to be the star of anything, if they were given that responsibility yeah. in the workplace, within school, whatever, that would be their undoing. Yet for others, they would be very, very capable and in the moment would probably come quite alive, but they would be highly anxious around it. So it's just interesting to, and then I've got one that would absolutely smash it and love it. And yeah. would love all the applause. So, you know, it's just interesting. So I guess it's funny because you don't really choose to some degree, do you, what motivates you? And it's not always things that you're necessarily, I don't know, that you're either good at or I don't know. Didn't understand what I'm saying.
Yeah. And I think also what I like about this map, it gives us permission to explore and accept, you know, what currently does motivate us. So, you know, I think a large part of everything you and I have talked about throughout our podcast is around awareness, you know, self-awareness. And along with self-awareness, we also need self-acceptance.
Yeah.
And so when we have those two, you know, then we start making decisions that align with who we are and all of that, then it just, you know, that's when we live fulfilled. So it's sometimes, you know, I've had clients where it's interesting. Star is one of the motivators. People are not sure they want. They're not sure they want it exposed, you know, because like, oh, so I need to be in the limelight. Like, oh, what does that say about me, you know?
Yeah.
But even just having an understanding, if that's one of your motivators, like there's no right or wrong or good or bad.
No.
And then to understand that, hang on a minute, that actually lights me up, which then means I can go and pursue opportunities where I can be the star.
Yeah.
You know, so again, this is, you know, how do we move from burnout to feeling more motivated? Well, if we understand our motivators, we can be intentional.
Of course.
Yeah. So if friend is a motivator,
yeah,
you know, one of the things that happens in burnout is often we tend to withdraw.
Mm-hmm. And but then, of course, we just keep spiraling down, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. So if you're someone that understands that friend is actually a high motivator, even if you're feeling down, you're reminded, oh, you know, I know that I can reach out and I know that this is probably going to light something inside.
I've got a friend who does.
Stir me up.
That's right. They get caught in this cycle and then after they reach out and then we go and do something together and they're like, oh, I'm so glad we did that because I feel, you know, it's so good for me and I know that and I need to be intentional. This is what she was saying. I need to be intentional to schedule these kind of, you know, catch ups because it really helps me to feel much better about myself and about life and I find joy.
Absolutely. You know? Yeah.
But it's funny that we just get caught up in the feelings of, oh, I'm exhausted, I'm burnt out, I'm whatever else is going on. And like you said, we retreat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And especially, you know, so this is why I love this tool because when we're in that space, and I mean, I've been there, I've been in that space of down and burnt out and I've actually been there since doing my map, which is interesting because that was the first place I went to. I'm like, oh, but what are my top three motivators again?
Love it.
And let me, you know, stir up something in those areas. Yes. And it's so much easier to bounce back then from, you know, heading down the burnout rabbit hole.
Yeah. No, very good. Okay. So they're the first three for the relational.
Yeah. And so moving on, the next three under the achievement cluster, we have the first one there is the builder.
Yeah,
now, the builder is motivated by building wealth and resources. So, you know, anyone that's, you know, from a professional perspective, if you've been in, you know, you run a business and you want to build the business up and that's what's, you know, you get excited about building your business and figuring out how to increase your revenue, you know, that is inspiring and lights up a builder.
Mm.
Whereas we all know, you know, it does for some and it definitely doesn't for other people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, that's the builder. The next motivator in the achievement cluster is the director.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's exactly what it says.
Mm-hmm.
The director is motivated and it lights them up on the inside to be able to direct others and direct resources. Yeah. They do really well in leadership roles, you know, where they can see the big picture and see what needs to happen, you know, what needs to happen. And they love organizing and directing.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then the third motivator under the achievement cluster is the expert.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm laughing because clearly this is one of mine. I really, that can light me up to share this stuff.
Yeah, I know. And like I said before, I can see it in you. So I'm laughing with you, not at you, Kath, because as soon as you said that, I was like, oh yeah, the expert's in the room.
And yeah, so the expert, just they get excited about sharing their knowledge and sharing what they're learning, you know, with others. Yeah. And again, for some people, they, you know, can be experts in their field, but the expert motivator is not something that really lights them up.
Yeah. Okay.
So this is another good point just to mention for our listeners here. You can be really good at something.
Yeah.
But it's simply not your motivator right now.
Yes.
So you can be a really strong leader and be really good at directing, you know, and having those sort of conversations with people. But in the season you're in, for whatever reason, it just might not be the thing that lights you up right now.
Yeah, wow.
And that's fine too. So the motivators, quite often your top motivators are also, they tend to also be things that you're good at, you know, because we enjoy the stuff we're good at.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, when it comes to our lower motivators, it doesn't mean, you know, so for example, you're going to laugh now with me, I hope. So friend actually came up second lowest on my motivational map.
Oh, wow.
And I was horrified. I'm like,
yeah. Are we even friends? Because that's definitely one of my high ones, right?
Yeah, yeah. And then it was explained to me, you know, because I did my map while doing the course. So the instructor explained, look, you probably, like, she asked me a whole lot of questions, coaching questions. So, you know, what do I think is going on here? Mm-hmm. And what it boiled down to was that I really have many friends and I've got many dear friends and I really enjoy one-on-one and going deep with people.
Yeah.
But when I wake up in the morning and I go about my day, my thing that's driving me is not to go and make friends.
Yeah, right.
Because I've got my friends.
You've got your friends. Yeah, that's same.
I've got them and I know who they are and I the connection's important, but that's not what's driving me to go and do the things I do every day.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, that makes sense.
And in fact, at the time I was doing my map, I was feeling quite time poor and overwhelmed. And I had one or two significant other people in my world who were taking quite a lot of energy from me. Mm. And I, you know, I'm a bit of an introvert, so I enjoy my space as well.
Yeah.
And so at that time, doing the questionnaire for the map, it, you know, once I unpacked it, it wasn't a surprise at all that friend was down at the bottom.
No, that's interesting. And when you've had that conversation with me now, that makes sense to me as well, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. So again, you know, you might think just because you're good at something that needs to motivate you, and that's not always the case. Yeah.
No, that's right. That's really cool. Okay. So then we're down to, that's those three for achievement. And then we've got growth.
Yeah. So the three growth motivators, the first one is the spirit. Mm-hmm. And the spirit, if we think about spirit is not contained. It's like free flowing, and the spirit likes it. The spirit likes freedom, flexibility, autonomy.
Mm-hmm. Don't clip my wings now.
No. And this is where it gets interesting, because you were sharing, you know, you've got five kids. Mm. And so if you've got one of your kids that's high spirit and wants their freedom and flexibility and says, Mum, you know, don't clip my wings.
Yeah.
And as a parent, sometimes we want to direct our kids.
Yeah, of course we do.
You know, so
we can see the dangers. Let's redirect.
Yeah. And so, you know, So the map is really useful when it comes to communication as well.
I should have done this map, you know, 20 years ago. I'm sure it didn't exist, but.
Very insightful. And again, what's really interesting with the spirit, because I'm high spirit, is what I've discovered is that the spirit, as much as what they really enjoy, freedom and flexibility, it's good for the spirit to have structure and have like a scaffolding. So they can sort of be all flexible within that scaffolding, but to have some kind of boundary around that.
Some sort of containment.
Yeah. Yeah. Otherwise, I'll never get anything done.
No. Oh, wow. This is all starting to make too much sense. I'm definitely needing to do this map.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The next one is the creator. Mm-hmm. And look, we've all been, as human beings, we are all creative. That's how, you know, God created us. We all have creativity on the inside of us. But again, it's what is it that motivates us? So the creator is motivated by figuring out how to, you know, the new things. So they're not necessarily arty.
Okay.
The on the map, the diagram for creator is an artist's palette, but it doesn't mean, you know, you create it from an arts perspective. You like to figure things out. You know, what's new? What's a different way of doing this? How can I do this better?
Okay.
So that's the creator.
Yeah.
And then the searcher, the last one is the searcher, and the searcher searches for meaning and value and searches to find, you know, how are they making a difference and contributing.
Wow.
So the searcher is motivated by knowing that what they're doing is adding value, making a difference, and it matters.
Yeah.
They're
also interesting, you know, because lots of things stand out to me for me and personally in my life, like as you're talking about growth, you know, spirit is definitely something for me. And then creator, you know, even just in little things in life, when like we renovated two homes.
Yeah.
And so what, you know, when I see something, I'm always going, oh, how could this be better? What could we do? If this was my home, if this was, how could that look? And I'm starting to realize maybe that's something that motivates. Yeah. But then back to the star, something about, and I've always struggled with it. When I was a little girl, I remember just wanting to be a singer or an actor.
Okay.
But never, ever thinking I was ever going to be good enough. So I never told anybody about this thought, because I always thought if you told people about that, you must think you're something and a bit more, right? So, but I know when I speak, when I sing, when I'm doing those things, I come to life.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's still a bit of a feeling around that, thinking, oh, yeah, pick me. Do you know?
yeah. And this is the interesting thing. So I think what has also helped me to discover is that there's a definite nuance. You know, if you're motivated by the star, it doesn't necessarily mean you're arrogant or boastful or think you're better than anybody else.
Mm.
Yeah. All that it means is that you are filled with energy when you've got the stage and you can, and, you know, and sometimes having that, you know, being able to sing to a whole lot of people, it's how you bless them. It's how you love on them.
Yeah. That's,
you know, it's what you're able to give to the audience. You know, it's far less about, oh, look at me, look how great I am.
That's exactly right. There's a quote that I read recently, something along the lines of, when you focus on serving, there's no room for fear. And so when you're in front of people, if you're there to serve, to share whatever it is you're sharing, then there's no real room for fear. So when I sort of read that quote, I was like, oh, well, that kind of makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
Here I am unpacking with you in front of, you know, all of our listeners. But, you know, as you're speaking, all of these thoughts are coming to my mind about what actually really motivates me. And it's made a whole lot of sense just in this conversation over the last, you know, 40 something years of my life.
Well, very glad to help. And that's why when I first heard about this map, you know, it was a no-brainer for me. I thought, absolutely, I need to learn more about this and become certified, you know, to help clients with this. And I'd love, I love doing maps with my clients. So definitely. So if you are listening to this and you, you know, would like to do a map, we'll pop, my email address will be in the notes. So just send me an email and say, Kath, I'd love to connect to do a map. What that looks like is we'll meet up for a half hour chat through and I can chat you through the process.
Mm-hmm.
Then you go off and do your map and we'll set up an hour session after your map to unpack.
Yeah, great.
Go through, answer any questions. And we look at a whole lot of things. We look at your range from your highest to your lowest motivator. We also look at satisfaction scores. So you could, let's just say spirit is a high motivator for you and it's, you know, it's one of your top motivators.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, the current environment you find yourself in potentially doesn't give you that freedom and flexibility that you desire. Yeah. So on your map, it might score really high as one of your highest motivators, but your satisfaction score could be quite low. So circling back to what we were talking about right in the beginning, you know, burnout, this is how we get burnt out. So if the things that really, really motivate us have low satisfaction scores and they constantly stay low, that's the, then we're headed towards burnout. So it just really opens a beautiful space to start having this conversation about getting curious around, okay, so where could I go and look to fill up this motivator and to get this need met so that my satisfaction score goes up?
Yeah, love it. And keeping that metaphor in mind about the bucket, you know, filling it up so that we're less likely to have an empty bucket.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or if we find ourselves with the empty bucket, we've got a place to go.
Yeah. So thank you for this opportunity to fill my bucket, expert bucket. So I'm leaving here feeling really full up. So thanks, Al.
Good. I'm so pleased. And thank you for being the expert in the room. Thank you for having this understanding and being willing to share it to myself and to our listeners. It's really great. So thank you, because I know that by doing this, we're going to live brave, strong and fulfilled, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, fabulous. All right. Well, thanks for sharing. I've loved having this chat and I look forward to talking again soon, Kath. Have a great day.
Thanks, Al. See you next time.
See ya.